farmers that things are at one problem or at one. Others are still in their provinces, but at least one member who is not part of our committee but a former committee member is joining us in maybe a few minutes, 15 to 20. She's still in the breakfast. So in that understanding, we'll then be correcting, but we may not be dealing with the minutes immediately because we still need that number. Information, we can be getting the presentation that will give us information, and then once the member joins us, then we may ensure that we don't want to postpone minutes. We are left with 2 weeks, so I'm really appreciative of the members that are ensuring that they are finishing the race, whether they are in the list or not in the list. But the race must be finished because they are paid for it. It's not on that people have now a lot of excuses. It's just not on. It's not honorable. So I don't think I'm happy about it. No, I'm not happy about it. Thank you very much. We are still. So that we just sought one member, and one member who is a former member of the committee, Honorable Patricia Adams, is going to join us. So I think we must take our heads on for you, in particular for one lady who really loves her job, even if the doctor says, wait a bit, lay it a little bit low. He said, no, Imaganani doctor. So, because he's also a doctor, but the other doctor is a medical doctor. She's a doctor through university. That is really where my daughter, we are really grateful, my sister, that we're soldiering on, and we call on our God to ensure that you remain strong all the way. So but we know that you are a soldier yourself. Thank you very much. Honorable Rider, you are forever there, so we are very happy. So, our lady, colorful lady, Honorable Masela, not only there, but always early, 15 or 20 minutes early. And she did this thing from day one, even today. If she must be late for 15 minutes, maybe because of doctor or whatever, because she's not as young as she looks, so she must see the doctor sometime. So she really has a good record of coming early. We really appreciate her. We really appreciate it. I think I do note these comments because they are important. Thank you very much. Our DM, always bless our meeting. You know when the department
comes.
More so currently, more so in South Africa today. I agree. Yeah, no, it's our country today. Yeah, this term blessed, so I must find. I'm not very good with words, you see.
But gracing and blessing, they are cousins.
So if you take a grace and a blessing, okay. Thank you very much, DM. We really appreciate that you always, in spite of the demands that one do there and there, you always want to ensure that you are in the portfolio committee. So thank you very much. To the officials, so we'll hear who are here. I see the handsome gentleman and a lonely lady. I don't know what happened to many ladies from this department. So if the rupee is regarded as men's job, but when we go down in the conferences and wards, we see many ladies supported by this program. So, but I'm happy, my lady, you are here. You're representing all the ladies. So through you, I see all of them. So thank you very much. Those were opening remarks. But I must also thank my staff as well. Up to this far, they are here. So they are also talking to doctors to ensure that on the days of these meetings, they are not really anywhere. They are here working for the people of South Africa. Thank you very much. Then go straight to the Ujam, the minutes, but let's hear the apologies if we have any apologies. Committee Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone present. We've got the following apologies. The Honourable Freddie Adams, which is the whip of the committee, is not able to attend this meeting due to a party program that is attending. Ms. Mchobo is also attending a party program. Ms. Matebe has a bereavement in the family, so she is not able to attend this meeting. The other apology we have is from the Honourable Dr. Beek. He's also attending public business, and the Honourable Ms. Massey, also on public business, or as well as Honourable Phil Dani. Honourable Phil Dani is out of town today. Thank you, Chairman.
Honourable Raidan.
Chairperson, can we just get clarity, because it's Dr. Finn's birthday today, so is it party business?
That's a nice one. No, we hope you will be able to share something when you finally comes. But I thought I've set in a wrong pace that even on your birthday you must still be here. So I think because he's a doctor, he didn't really learn from the best. Thank you very much, Olaf Gerbers. I think we can then go straight, we'll jump the minutes, and then we'll go straight to the presentation. We'll afford the GM, will afford your officials the introduction so that we get to know them well. I'm very particular on this presentation because it really covers all the corners of South Africa. Rural areas, it gets there. Small dorpies, it gets there. So I got calls from those small dorpies. You think your program is not important, but I do get Willowmore. I don't know, they say it's towards PE and Cape Town. I don't know where it is. So I got calls about your program. So please, it's an important program. So thank you very much. Dear, we'll hand over to yourself, and then I don't know, you tell us who's leading the delegation, and then you talk in the introduction. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, and good morning to everyone. The presentation will be led by DDG Stan Henderson, I think is well known to the committee. So let's move straight into that. So thanks, I think, for reminding us of the reach and potential reach that the Expanded Public Works Program has, and how much it means to ordinary people on the ground. So I really agree with you in saying that. It's not always a perfect program, but people really value it. But over to DDG Henderson, who I think will then also introduce the rest of the people.
Thank you, DDG Stanley.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. DM. Chair, just an apology from the Director General of Public Works, Dr. Sam Mukela. I think he had submitted an apology to the Secretariat. Unfortunately, my name is Stanley Anderson, DDG Director of EP. I'm accompanied by two Chief Directors, actually three Chief Directors. And maybe they can just briefly introduce themselves.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, representing the staff. My name is Ignacio Ario. I'm Chief Director of EPWP Infrastructure Center.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members, DM. Bindi Wempuna, acting in the Chief Director position of EPWP Convergence and Sustainable Livelihood.
Okay.
Good morning, Chair, DM, Honorable Members, I'm acting of the Chief Director Communication and Marketing.
And then,
good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Tando. My full name is Wababa, Minister of Public Works. Thank you.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'm from Mashawa, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Department of Public Works.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the request from the committee was to get a progress report. Thank you. Thank you, dear. To get an update or progress report on the expanded public works program phase 3. As you know, we are coming towards the end of the third phase of the EPWP. So our presentation will deal with progress report with regard to the current financial year, and then the reflection also over the entire period, the 5-year period of phase 3. And then we thought it would be appropriate to also touch and introduce the next 5 years that we have planned for expanded public works phase 4. As you know, we work in 5-year cycles. So we will cover those three areas in the main, and our presentation will be done by Mr. Rio. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Honorable Chair. I'll take you through the presentation. The DPG has covered the outline of the presentation. We shall look at the performance in phase 3. We shall also look at some of the lessons that I imagine from phase 3. And then we'll cover phase 4 and some general observations. Looking at the performance of EPWP phase 3, currently, by the end of the third quarter, EPWP has reported 4.3 million work opportunities against the target of 6 million work opportunities, which represents an achievement of 73% against the 5-year target. In terms of the 18-19 financial year, our achievement is 59% of the target that is currently. At the end of the third quarter, it was 58%, but when you look at figures in February, it's showing us 59%, and we expect the numbers to continue to increase. That's just in terms of work opportunities, but also we have an impact in terms of full-time equivalents. And just looking at the performance over the last 5 years, in the first year, 14-15, we met our target, 106%. In terms of work opportunities, we had a dip in 15-16, financial year, 66%, and the number 58% in 16-17, 17-18 is 64%. So our numbers dipped after the first year, and largely because of the new stringent reporting requirements we put in place, so that we have a stricter controls in terms of validated triggers. So the numbers that we are presenting now have been validated strongly, and for each of these work opportunities, we have a certified copy of an IEP. We can be able to trace the participants. overall, we have a shortfall of 1.6 billion against our 5-year target, but also the least performing sectors are the infrastructure sector and the non-state sector, but that's just in terms of their targets. In terms of the absolute numbers of work opportunities, the infrastructure sector still contributed the highest number of work opportunities. If you look at the absolute numbers, but in terms of their targets, and largely this is because of poor reporting from municipalities in terms of infrastructure, and then the community work program is 58%, infrastructure, non-state sector is 57%, 47, and then the community work program is 62.7. This just gives a breakdown on slide 6 of the performance across the different sectors. And this is the performance if you look at the different provinces as well. If you look at the five-year period, you see that there's varying performance across the different provinces. Some provinces are doing better than others. You also see performance in terms of provincial departments and municipalities. Largely, provincial departments have done much better. They have been able to achieve 88% of their targets over the five-year period. Municipalities is where our weakness has been, 54%. And largely, we've had poor reporting from municipalities. In terms of provincial departments, Eastern Cape has already achieved their target for the 5 years. KwaZulu-Natal also has almost achieved their target, 95%. Western Cape, 76%. Free State, 74%. Municipalities, the best performing province in terms of municipalities has been the Western Cape at 81% of the target. KwaZulu-Natal is at 72%. So that just gives an idea of the performance in terms of work opportunities. And then this looks at the spheres. This just shows this is a graphical representation of the achievement in terms of work opportunities across the different sectors. It just shows you the target and what has been achieved so far. So you see that the Eastern Cape has achieved what is in the lighter color is orange. Orange. You would see that the Eastern Cape has exceeded their target, and the blue shows what the target should have. What's the target? So that gives a graphical representation. If you look at municipal performance, it also gives you a graphical representation. It's the only the Western Cape where we've been able to come very close in terms of the target for work opportunities. I think that's, Then key outputs of the program, just beyond the numbers, the EPWP has also had an impact in terms of assets and services. The project so far, the work opportunities that we've reported, have been achieved through the implementation of 69,000, almost 69,000, almost 70,000 projects so far. That is up to the third quarter, 69,891 across the different provinces. Of the work opportunities created or reported, 2 million work opportunities have been created for the youth. 2.9 million work opportunities have been taken up by women, and over 55,000 work opportunities have been taken up with people with disabilities. And in terms of what has been transferred to participants, 36 billion has been transferred to participants over the last 5 years in terms of wages. The income transfer not only reduces poverty, but also is a form of economic stimulus directed at the poor. And then we've also had the focus on the community work program. It has also helped promote cohesion and strengthen productive activities within marginalized communities. In terms of assets and services, we have over 40,000 kilometers of routine road maintenance that has been done over the last 5 years. Over 17,000 kilometers of water recirculation has been put in place. These assets have a transformative impact on development across the different sectors in the different provinces. So just then looking at the performance for the 18-19 financial year in particular, the first part of the presentation will just give us an overview in terms of the 5 years. If you look at the 18-19 financial year, by the end of the third quarter, in terms of work opportunities, 845,162 work opportunities have been reported against the target of 1,455,840 work opportunities, which is 58% of the target. That's by the end of the third quarter. In February, by the end of February, we had 864,514. So there was a slight increase, and we hope to see an increase as we go along, especially in March, as we close the fourth quarter. We normally tend to see a lot of good reporting. In terms of full-time equivalents, 250,481 full-time equivalents have been reported against a target of 591,846 for the 18-19 financial year. And what the full-time equivalent is 230 person days of work or one person year of employment. So it would mean that because in EPWP, the work opportunities have different durations. You have people working for different durations, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months. So if people are working on a full-time basis, if you would aggregate the number, it would be 250,000 persons were employed over a full year. That would be the equivalent impact. That's what it means in terms of the full-time equivalent, which is 45% of the target so far. It would also mean that many of the work opportunities are shorter in duration than originally planned. This performing sector, infrastructure, mainly due to poor reporting by municipalities, although in absolute numbers, the infrastructure sector has reported the largest number of work opportunities in the 2019. So this just gives the detailed figures that by the end of the third quarter, so the 845,162, the figures we see in February, 864,000, an increase of almost 20,000 work opportunities. If you look at the different sectors, infrastructure would be 244,968, that is with a February, which is about 42%. Environment and culture sector, 155,000, 223.67%. The NPO component is 63,000, and then the social sector is 172,000, almost 173,000. And then in terms of full-time equivalent, that gives a breakdown of what the different sectors have been able to contribute. If we look at the work performance in terms of work opportunities for the third quarter alone, provincial departments have achieved 82% of the target by the end of the third quarter. In terms of the provincial departments, the Eastern Cape has already achieved its work opportunity target. It has achieved the target for the 5 years, but also for this particular financial year, they've already exceeded their target. In terms of municipalities, it's 40% of the work opportunity target by the end of the third quarter. Generally, municipalities are performing worse than the provincial department. In terms of provinces, when you look at the third quarter only, the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Western Cape are on track to meet their target concerning the third quarter reporting, because you would expect that at the end of the third quarter, you would have a straight line of 75%. If you look at the, if you expect that a straight line, it doesn't always follow that, because projects tend to peak towards the third and fourth quarter. And then the least performing province in the 18-19 financial year after the third quarter is Gauteng. And largely this is due to poor reporting from the metropolitan municipalities in Gauteng. City of Johannesburg, Kuruleni, City of Swane, we have some challenges there in terms of reporting. This table gives a breakdown for the different provinces. 82% for provincial departments, 40% for municipalities. Overall, it's 61% achievement. That is, if you look at the work opportunities. And on the hard copies, you'll see what was marked in red. What was marked in red, that means that the percentage is less than 75%. If you take a straight line, it would be areas of emphasis. It doesn't show on the presentation there, but in the hard copy, you can see where the red is. So those are our areas of concern. And those are different provinces that we are engaging with to ensure that we have a better performance. And then this training, we also have training on EPWP, because according to our strategy, we try to emphasize training where possible, where feasible. 42,761 work opportunities have had training out of the 845,162 work opportunities at the end of the third quarter. So it's about 5% of the work opportunities have had training, but our strategy was we need to focus training, especially where it makes a big difference in terms of project implementation. The training that has been done is both accredited and unaccredited, and then also the training covers all the sectors of EPWP, and generally what we see is that there is a need for public bodies to conduct more training of participants on the project. That is something that we are pushing for, and we're saying that public bodies need to set aside some of their project budget funds for training. We currently have some funding from the NSF, National Skills Fund, but it's not adequate to cover all the participants. So this is just a graphical representation. What you see in blue is the overall number of work opportunities reported from the province. And what you see in red in the bar graph are the work opportunities that do not have training. What you see in green are the work opportunities that have training. So just that you see the spread across the different provinces. In absolute numbers, we've had more participants trained in KwaZulu-Natal, and again, their target is higher. The number of opportunities reported is much more. And then, looking at the integrated grants to provinces, as of 18th February, 95% of the allocation has been transferred to eligible provincial departments. Expenditure is 67% of the allocation. Free State has the highest expenditure at 85%. Eastern Cape has the lowest expenditure at 34%. So this gives a breakdown. What it means that we'll transfer 95% of the allocation, and we're working with the different public bodies to ensure that we transfer all the allocation. The 5% that we've not transferred is issues of compliance. We find that a provincial department has not submitted the expenditure report, or they have not reported on projects that they have registered, but it seems that we're working with public bodies to be able to close the gap. And then 67% is the expenditure that so far has been given to us or reported to us by the different public bodies, and it varies across the provinces, as was mentioned. It's something that we track. Then in terms of the integrated grants to municipalities, 96% has been transferred by the end of January. The expenditure is 68% at the end of January. KwaZulu-Natal has the highest expenditure, 78%. The Limpopo has the lowest expenditure, 50%. I think just to say for municipalities that they spend up to the end of June according to the municipal financial year. So we need to take that into account. And then this gives a breakdown of the different provinces. The expenditure, what has been transferred, 96%. The expenditure is 68%, if you round off. And highest expenditure, we'll see, is at 78%. That's for doing the trial. That gives you a picture. Lowest expenditure is the 4% of the allocation. In terms of the social sector grant, that goes to provincial departments, 99% of the allocation has been transferred to eligible departments. Expenditure is 71% at the end of January 2019. Free State has the highest expenditure at 78%, and Limpopo has the lowest expenditure at 50%. And then this just gives a breakdown of the different provinces where we have the expenditure, the what has been transferred, and the expenditure as well. And also, what we've done a high-level review of phase three. We did a quick high-level review of phase three, and we're able to see the number of, and this was done in partnership with the ILO, International Labour Organization, of the lessons we are learning, and we used some of the high-level review to be able to make our proposals for phase four. We're also doing a very extensive impact evaluation of phase three that will be ready at the end of June 2019. So there's a high impact study that is happening as we speak, but this was, we also did a high level review just to give us an idea. Some of the key findings of the review so far for phase three was in terms of targets and target setting. What the review found was that in some cases the targets were high and unrealistic. Public bodies not have were not able to meet the targets. And so the lesson learned there is that we need to link the targets more to the MTF allocations, and also we need to make adjustments where the reductions. When we planned for phase three, we had a trajectory in terms of the budget. but because of the economic performance and the budget cuts, the spend reduction. So in some programs, it had an effect in terms of meeting the targets. Then in terms of funding and incentive grants, what we're seeing is that a lot of public bodies are relying only on the incentive and not using much of their own funding, especially at the municipal level. So it's something that we want to turn around to make sure that public bodies use their funding. For example, use part of the municipal infrastructure grant for EPWG and not rely on the incentive only. Because sometimes you go to public bodies and they say they only account for the incentive and they say go beyond, use the whole budget for EPWG. So that's a message that we need to preach very, very strongly to public bodies. In terms of institutional arrangements and coordination, the first IFC, the Public Employment Program Interministerial Committee, raised the program of EPWP, and we want that to continue in phase two as well. We also found that in some cases you have insufficient technical and managerial capacity for EPWP implementation among as many implementing public bodies. So our lesson learned is that where public bodies put capacity to coordinate EPWP, the program has done well. But where it's been looked at as an add-on, or they not put capacity, the implementation has been poor. So we would want public bodies to mainstream EPWP, have dedicated officials coordinating EPWP in the different public bodies. And also where we had strong political championing of the program, we had better implementation. Then in terms of the EPWP universal principles, the compliance to the universal principles has improved across the different projects. We want to continue to strengthen monitoring of that. And the universal principles would be the public assets and services, with compliance to the ministerial determination, fair recruitment practices, and also compliance to labor intensity. Those are the four principles of EPWP. We've continued with them in phase four, and we're saying that the compliance is beginning to improve. Training and enterprise development, we're saying that there's been limited training, and we want to improve on partnerships, especially with the private sector, for investment and training. We're saying there's opportunity where we could have placement with the private sector. We need to explore that. We need to see what funding can we get to help enhance training, because the funding we have for training has been limited. And then also in terms of even though involvement of the private sector, even if EPWP is a public sector program, the review is recommending that we should identify opportunities for increased partnerships or involvement with the private sector to see how we can enhance a contribution towards the creation of work opportunities through the EPWP. So the next part of the presentation looks at phase four. We followed the process in development of proposals for phase four. We had a broad consultation with different departments. Different departments were consulted. We also had a consultation with municipalities, in terms of municipalities, we consulted with metros, we consulted with districts and local municipalities in terms of phase four. So then based on the proposals and the consultation, we were then able to put together a proposal which was submitted to Cabinet. It was submitted first to the Economic Sector, Employment and Infrastructure Development Cabinet Committee on the 28th of November 2018. And they approved the proposal with comments. That was approved and went to the full Cabinet on the 5th of December. We also had additional comments that were made by Cabinet. Based on the inputs received, we then have built up and developed a business plan for EPWP Phase 4, which we are planning to roll out and implement. Some of the comments we got from the Cabinet Committee, from the ESAID Cabinet Committee, was there should be an expansion of scope of EPWP. We should have a vigorous assessment of Phase 3. Consider lessons learned and prepare for future planning that is currently underway. We're saying that Cabinet also said that private sector engagement should be pursued in a much stronger way. We need to see how we can involve the private sector EPWP, the Inter-Ministerial Committee on Public Employment Programs should meet regularly, as well as the recommendation from the State Cabinet Cluster, and then there should be sustained efforts to source additional investment in public employment programs. Additional comment was that some of the programs, like the safety programs, need to be, we need to explore how we can ensure safety of tourists in order to boost tourism in the country. So we're saying that this was, the safety program was looked at as one of the programs that could be expanded, especially that the countries look at how we can improve tourism as well. EPWP also should look at exploring alternative road paving methodologies to look at how we can have greater efficiency and job creation. The also other comment was that the TVET and community colleges should be used for widespread development among the youth to advance maintenance work for young people as well. It's something that we need to look at as well. And also comment that the original intent of EPWP in terms of skills development should not be lost. Also, another comment was DPME, Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, should look at how we can co-brand, especially the youth program, to ensure our patriotism and develop a responsible citizen. So those are comments that we got from the Cabinet Committee, and those are comments that we've worked into the proposal for Phase 4. Looking at Phase 4, just at a high level, the objective for Phase 4 would be to provide work opportunities and income support to poor and unemployed people through the delivery of public and community assets and services, thereby contributing towards development. So our objective is still to look at create work opportunities, but look at how in the creation of work opportunities, the delivery of services and development of assets as well, and that's all that should contribute to our development. Three areas of focus would be employment creation, and doing that also we want to have skills, work-based skills and work experience as well, either in the formal or informal sector. We also want to look at income support when we look at program impact, that earning an increased income and improving household security. Then we also want to ensure that there is development of community assets and provision of services, that communities should benefit from improved service delivery and infrastructure that should come to EPWP. So in terms of program impact, those are areas that we want to look at and be able to measure as well. So some of the focus areas then of Phase 4 is we want to look at strengthening the monitoring of core EPWP principles to improve compliance with EPWP guidelines. We want to expand the program, especially through replication and improvement of programs across different sectors. There are programs that have had a good impact. We'd like to increase their replication in different provinces across the different sectors. We want to enhance EPWP coordination and institutional arrangement. We want to strengthen impact evaluation of EPWP and greater transparency and accountability. And one of the ways we want to do that is we want to introduce social audit, where communities will be involved in auditing projects and looking at impact. And then we want to strengthen partnerships with the private sector and the TVET colleges as well in terms of skills development and training. In terms of the targets for EPWP Phase 4, we're looking at a target of 5 million work opportunities across the different sectors of EPWP. The infrastructure sector is expected to create the highest number of work opportunities, followed by the community work program component of the non-state sector. This just gives a breakdown of the targets that we are looking at over the next 5 years in the different sectors and the different financial years. In terms of demographic targeting, we've increased the target for women to 60% from 55%. Youth is 55%, currently we're sitting at 46%, but we want to really ensure that we put in place a lot of programs to target the youth. And then persons with disabilities, our target is 2%. We've seen improvement in Phase 3, we achieved about 1.3%. And in Phase 2, we achieved about 0.78%. So we're beginning to see a bit of increase, but we want to do much more to have, make sure that persons with disabilities participate effectively on the program. So in terms of targeting, we'll be having geographical targeting and programs that will look at geographical targeting where they focus on poor communities and those with a high number of unemployed. And then we'll also have self-targeting through the ELT minimum wage, and then community targeting as well. So those are the different approaches that we'll use in targeting of participants. Some of the strategies for improvement and expansion in ELT phase 4, we'd like to have the scope expanded through the replication and improved performance programs. And some of the programs we're looking at are the safety programs, early childhood development, the chefs program. We're saying that we're going to have increased coverage of such programs, tourism safety programs as well, engagement with relevant public bodies to expand road construction and maintenance as well. Those are some of the strategies or programs that we've identified. We'd want to also improve on youth participation. So programs like the National Youth Service, the Youth Environmental Service, Youth Ambassadors, we'd want to strengthen them and expand them in the different sectors that we have youth participation. We also want to look at innovative programs concerning the fourth industrial revolution to see how we can expand the involvement of youth as well. And then we'd like to consolidate the different public employment programs. There are some departments that are not participating fully. There are also new programs that we want to introduce so that we begin to expand the scope of the program. In terms of the four universal principles of EPWP, one would be the adherence to the EPWP ministerial determination. We want to be able to look at that. And also payments of wages that are equal to or above the EPWP minimum wage or the applicable sectoral minimum wage. We'd like to ensure that selection of workers is done using the EPWP recruitment guidelines. We developed guidelines last year. We want to roll them out so that different stakeholders are aware of the guidelines and ensure that recruitment is done following a fair and transparent process. Also, we want to ensure that the work done provides or enhances public goods or community services. So as different participants in the EPWP, they must be doing something which is sensible, just useful work. Are they providing a service? Are they contributing towards building of an asset? We want to measure that as a report. And then minimum labor intensity as well is something that we want to ensure for every sector. And in terms of minimum labor intensity, we're looking at what component of wages, of expenditure of a project goes to wages. We want to optimize on that as much as possible. That's on a project, you have a lot of the expenditure going to wages of the participants. In terms of training and enterprise development, we also want to focus on that, on the EPWP. So we want to carry out training interventions to enable participants to be able to get skills that will enhance their livelihood. Also, we want to look at enterprise where possible, where participants are able to form their own SMEs. We want to be able to support them. We want to work with the different government organizations, like for example, Department of Small Business Development, to support SMEs. We also want to increase our partnerships with the TVETs, with the Twitter community colleges as well, so that we can have a placement, but also we could have further training opportunities. We want to also look at sourcing external funding for sustainable programs where we could have learnerships and artisan development. So those are the different areas we're looking at. Some of the cross-cutting strategies that we want to look at in phase 4 is funding, and that we want to look at forging partnerships with the private sector, with donors. We want to see how can we get additional funding to further accelerate EPWP programs. We shall also explore SME development and training. And then MID, we want to strengthen the monitoring of the core principles, We also want to see how we can streamline monitoring and reporting mechanism. We want to see how can we make reporting easier as well. Greater transparency and accountability through the introduction of social audit. We also want to do a lot of impact assessments as well, so that we have a holistic picture of what is the contribution of the program towards development. In terms of coordination and institutional arrangement, the overall coordination of EPWP in phase 4 will still be done through the Department of Public Works, and the coordination will happen through the relevant clusters and through the Interministerial Committee on Anti-Poverty, but also the Public Employment Public Employment Program Interministerial Committee. We want to strengthen partnerships as well in phase 4. In the provinces, the different provincial departments of public works will play a coordination role, with the MECs of public works coordinating the different provinces. And then you have the lead sector departments also that will be involved in the coordination. Social sector will still be led by the Department of Social Development. Infrastructure sector will be led by the Department of Public Works. Environmental affairs will continue to lead the environment and culture sector. And we also want to partner with the other departments as well, departments of cooperative governance, in coordinating the community work program. So these are the different coordination arrangements that we want to look at, or that we want to continue with in phase 4. Just in terms of the rollout for EPWP phase 4, we have a number of activities that we're planning. I think we'll just update that. I want to present at the min mark of the lead sector departments. We plan to do that in February, but now it looks like we'll do a lot of that in March. We've already began having orientation of officials and staff. That was done in February in terms of phase 4. We've also already started having an orientation of different stakeholders in the provinces on the EPWP phase 4, so that they are ambassadors for the program. And everybody is on the same page in terms of the program. We are planning to continue having roadshows with different stakeholders in March. Projects and beneficiaries, we are doing profiling of that. We began already profiling that in February, and the idea is that as we close out phase 3, we want to also capture the success stories and be able to document that. So what are some of the success stories we've had in EPWP, and package that as well. We're already having a media campaign on Trades 4 that began in February, and we want to continue to strengthen that as well, that we communicate to stakeholders, communities on Trades 4. And then we're also planning to have a launch of Phase 4 in March or April. In terms of EPWP Phase 4, we still will have a formal launch. And then in terms of the business plan dissemination, we're going to do that in March to the different stakeholders to begin to disseminate the business plan for phase 4 to the different stakeholders. So we'd like to recommend to the Public Works Portfolio Committee to note the performance in terms of EPWP phase 3, note the process of development for phase 4, and note some of the strategies and targets for phase 4 as well, and support the rollout of EPWP phase 4. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Eve.
Thank you, Chair. That's all our presentation. So, in essence, as we conclude phase 4, we have taken the lessons learned, phase 3 rather, at the end of March, we have taken the lessons learned from phase 3 to plan for phase 4, and we have said what we should not be doing would be to chase numbers, but we should be looking at the broader value add and transformative potential of public employment programs, the value that can bring to communities if we work closely with the communities, and obviously with a particularly strong emphasis on youth development. Yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. DM.
Shall we leave it for questions and then I would like to come in there.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, the presentation is now in front of you for questions, clarity seeking. Can I note hands? Dr. Madloba, Honorable Keta, Navro Reda, Mayor Masela, in that order. Dr. Madloba.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the presentation. As you have indicated, Chair, this program is a very important program for our community, especially the poorest of the poor, because they have got something to put on the table when they get these opportunities for EPWC. So it's a program that we always wish that it works according to the plan. I want to check all the time, you know, the poor performance is around the issue of reporting, which means to say that it's not really that they don't implement, but it's a poor reporting. But what I'm not sure about the poor reporting is that how do we see that it's a poor reporting? Do they report this month and then the next month report more than that to say that the first one was wrong? How do we determine that it's a poor reporting as a department? I'm looking at slide number 4, Chair. I see in the financial year 2014-15, the achievement was more than expected, 106%. If it was the poor reporting, why this time on this financial year there was more than expected reporting? You achieved, and you achieved more than you were expecting to achieve. And then in the following financial years, you see it's dropping drastically from 106 to 66%, and then it went to be worse in 16-17, 58%. You know, we last have the sound achievement in 2014-2015, but the other years, is it because now we are working with different people that you started with, that were reporting correctly, and then you achieve? Because when you see here 58%, really it's not something that is good. But I understand also that there was an indication of the capacity and so on and poor reporting. Chair, if I can move to slide number 11. I think I'm continuing on that, on the poor reporting. Also, I want to check, is it really only poor reporting? How do you see the issue of the fourth industrial revolution vis-a-vis labor-intensive approach? I'm saying this because on the road we see a lot of machines and the people, mechanization. Is it not one of the things, and also how are you going to balance the fourth industrial revolution vis-a-vis the labor-intensive approach? I'm saying this because we keep on saying poor reporting, but we don't have the plan for this fourth industrial revolution that we are in. Because even where we're expecting intensive, labor-intensive, like in the garages, in some of the garages now you don't have workers, you just put the petrol on your own, even in the shops, to go to the till. So which means that it's eroding this labor intensive approach that we are saying is really assisting the poorest of the poor. We as the government, how are we going to balance that thing so that it can not erode this labor intensive approach, especially in the EPWP. The other one, Honorable Chair, is slide number 19. I see here you have shown a poor performance by the municipalities. You know, most of them are less than 50%, others 34%. I'm not going to go through to the provinces where those municipalities are, but it's a concern for us to say that how are we going to really, because this issue of EPWP, we are in the third EPWP. We started in the first, the very same challenges that we're having in the first EPWP, we are still having it now. Does it mean to say that we don't have mechanism to deal with those challenges? Because the issue of reporting from the beginning, it was the problem of reporting, problem of the reporting. If you look at the problem of reporting also, that's why I was saying, is it really the problem of reporting? If you look at on slide number 19, can you say that the expenditure, is the expenditure in line with what has been delivered? Remember that it's less delivered, especially in the municipality. You said it's 34%, it's whatever. But when you compare what they have reported, is it in line with the budget that they have that they have expended? Because we have to compare that to see whether is it a problem of reporting. Because if it is a problem of reporting, you will see also more expenditure than the reporting. And then you try to zoom in it and say, what is the problem in this one? Because they've got spend more but less delivered. Chair, on slide number 25, can I check what is the criteria that is being used by the department to identify the public bodies that is going to implement EPWP? I am asking this because there is an indication that their targets are unrealistic. Do you really, I know that it's not public works that is an implementer, but what I'm trying to say, to set, you know, the criteria to say, this is what we're going to look for the public body to qualify, to be given that incentive grant in order to implement this. What criteria? Because you say the finding is saying targets were unrealistic and there is no capacity. You see? I'm worried about the capacity. Is there no thing that is a minimum requirement to say you must have like that capacity, your target must be like that? Because if it is unrealistic, you give a person that is not going to account. Because how do you hold that person accountable if the objectives or the targets are unrealistic? Also, I'm concerned about the training, Honorable Chair. Where is that page? The training, I can see in the graph here. Hey, the training is like something that is not existing in most of these public bodies. They are not. I remember when we were in Limpopo, when Mam Mabuza was still around, we found that there was no training that was being done. People were following the creator, taking the stone. You know, it's not really empowering. But the main aim of this program was to assist people putting something on the table and also training them so that for the future, so that they are in a position not to become poor only. But when you look at the bar for training, I don't know what is the percentage for that in slide number 16. If you look there, you know, it's terrible, really. But we are not holding those public bodies accountable to say that produce your plan what is the plan for the training, so that when we want them to account about the training, already they have submitted. It's like we give them and we leave them, they do what they want without collaring them to say, this is what we want from you to train, because we must set a criteria and the way that they have to deal with this particular matter. I'm really worried, Chair, about the issue of the training, because it means to say that it's not assisting. We are talking about the fourth industrial revolution. If people are not trained, what are they going to do? Because even those that are trained to put petrol are taken away. What about those that are not trained at all? It means to say more poverty will come and visit us in the country if we don't, if we are not careful and we are not planning for it to balance this incentive, labor intensive vis-à-vis the fourth industrial revolution. I will stop there, Chair, because I can see that most of the provinces, especially the municipalities, are failing to implement this program. I think the plan, I see that you said we have got lessons, but from EPWP1 lessons, EPWP2 lessons, 3 lessons, we'll go to 4, we'll find the very same thing. I think something needs to be done for this. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That's the
No, just there.
All the training chairs,
yeah.
Is it accredited? Those Molanyana training that they have.
Okay.
Is it accredited?
Okay.
Are they getting certificates for it?
Okay.
Or it's something that you know?
Not yet. I hope you are writing down. Honourable members, we request that we shelve the questions because Honourable Adams would want to attend to one other pressing need. So we wanted to approve minutes while we are still correcting. So if we agree, we want to just for a few minutes, jump to minutes, and deal with the minutes, we'll come back to the questions. Don't forget your questions. Let's go to the minutes of the 19th of February 2019. What do you have?
26.
Nomdu, can you ensure that we all have the same minutes? 26 is the correct one, but I don't have the 26. One of Masera doesn't have 26 as well. Let's ensure that we all have. Committee Secretary's technology while the assistant is getting our copies. Okay, we're dealing with the minutes of the 26th February. So, Madame Masera, your copy is coming. I hope my copy is also coming. Thank you very much. Now I'm empowered. Thank you very much. Now we are dealing with the minutes of the 26th February, the first page. Yeah, 26th February. We're looking at the first page. The second page. Third page, the list of names of people who attended. moving from the third to the fourth page. Moving from the fourth to the fifth page. We are now at the sixth page. Moving to the last page, the seventh page. Members that the department has not honored their commitment of writing the written responses to the questions as agreed. Maybe they will indicate why, but we didn't really want them to get exclusive. We wanted the responses in writing. So, but in as far as the minutes are concerned, can we table them for the adoption? Honorable Riddle, they are now have some meat. Honorable Masiela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I would like to move for the adoption of the minutes of the 25th February 2019. Thank you.
Very much. Honorable Reza?
Yeah, I will second Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much. I take it that we are all happy with the minutes. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. We are done with this one. We are still looking forward to the department. DDG, you are here to take the things of the Director General. So we will respond to why the GM the same, why the written response didn't come as requested, even commitments, if you want to commit again with next time. GM?
Yeah, sorry. First of all, it's unfair to ask the DDG, because he's DDG for a branch. Which it refers to within the other. Sorry, I wasn't actually paying attention to the in particular, which sessions were the ones in which you requested written responses and have not gotten them? Just so that we can raise, because we will raise it very very energetically, assisted by the parliamentary liaison officer, because he's the other appropriate channel, I think, to raise the concern.
Okay.
So maybe not now, but if maybe after the meeting, where you can just give us a sense of which particular branches or topics.
Yeah. Is it the very one that dealt with the identified the land issues that were earmarked for restitution processes? So, okay. DDG, when the Director General is not around, from where I sit, don't mind what the DM have said. From where I sit, DM, this is my meeting, isn't it? So, from where I sit, if the Director General is not here and you are the DDG, you are here, you answer for the department. So you have the DM that is defending you, but you must know from me, ne? DM, take your finger away from the you are not given any authority to speak. You are not recognized.
Okay.
So you must be ready. Even the chief director, if you come to the portfolio committee and other leaders are not here,
you take that.
So we expect you to be armed.
I hope you understand that. You are armed. So it's your opportunity to shine. It's your opportunity to show that you can do even better than those people who are upset. So take, grab that opportunity. So I don't accept anybody who says no, even if they are not here. When are you home? So much so, good to know, you know. And I understand. It's an opportunity, grab it. They are not here, you are here. The department is here. The official department. Of course, you are from another section, but it's one department in the end of the day. Okay, so thank you very much. Before the Honorable Adams goes, you would want to have a comment, Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to my colleagues for understanding that I bypass them, but I must leave now.
Indeed.
Chair, you know, EPWP is a passion of mine. And they are the people that we always see when we are in our communities. And this program must be a flagship and of government. So its success must be guaranteed. And you know, we are 5 years here. Sorry to say, TBG, in my view, not too much improvement. Not too much. What must we do? We filter our responsibilities down to the provinces, municipalities, and to the private bodies that we are. Now, Jay, I've already spoken about it. I know this is a concurrent motion. But we cannot allow our people to suffer as a result of a concurrent. And DM and Minister must be harsher on their colleagues in the province. Because if they say public works, they don't look down to MEC in whatever province, don't want to name a province. Province X. They see Honorable Nancy and Honorable Crony as the public works. So, if we look at page 11, the first bullet is by the end of the third quarter of 2018-19 financial year, 845 work opportunities have been reported against a target of that. What happened if the target wasn't reached? I always talk about target setting. We must be realistic when we set a target, even if it's a small target. But we must ensure that it's successful. If there are 10 possible work opportunities, make the target 5 and ensure that 5 are reached and skilled. That's the other word, skilled. Now, we go from page 11, slide 11, to slide 15. Now, we said 845 work opportunities were reported and only 42,761 work opportunities had training. I don't even want to make the mathematics poor. We always said we must get self-employment. How can we get self-employment when there isn't training? Jefferson, and if you go out there, I know you are not the implementer, but you are the driver. And we must be cruel to be kind. The chairperson, I go right back to the end. That's water under the bridge. Our terms at the end, that's water under the bridge. But there's a new road under the bridge. And I'm on slide 45. Now that's a roll-up plan. And today is the 4th of the 1st of March. And there is a roll-up plan that says February 2019. The one awareness amongst that is phase 4. Have you implemented phase 1 to 4 already? Because you have passed your timeline. And if you have done it, I'd like to see some evidence. Because I've nowhere seen, and I'm a reader, not of books, but of magazines and newspapers. And I read every page, everything on the page. That is how I was taught. I read everything, even the advertisements. So I haven't seen anything. Awareness of it. Have you done it? And then the last thing I want to ask and leave you. And love you. Minimum wage. Have you implemented it? Will it be implemented in the EPWP? In the new phase? Thank you, Jefferson, for your indulgence.
Thank you very much. Even if the honourable member would have gone, we'll be all ears on her behalf. Because she's one of the strong members of this portfolio. So we're quite grateful, Mama. We're quite grateful. So we'll ensure that we got the answers for the people of South Africa. So the following member would be Honorable Qatar.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter for their presentation. And thank you, DG, for your confidence to your work. But Chairperson, first of all, I want to correct this. KN, what is KN? Because what I know is KZN.
I see KN, so I don't know.
You can't take it from the
But Chairperson, actually, most of the question has been asked. But what I want to check, because there's a lot of understanding, especially in Gauteng and Limpopo, and the poor reporting from the metros, because if the province is not performing, the metros are not performing. So what I'm trying to find out, because it's not just only this quarter of a year, it happened actually maybe before. What I want to find out is that the department have to actually assist, because it seems that there's a lot of capacity which are not seen in those provinces and the investment. Do you have any mechanism of the that you have in the department to help them to have the capacity in their performance, regarding performance? And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of failing to achieve your target. That's the concern, Chairperson, because the DPG is supposed to know if they have so much target, they have to achieve those targets. But it seems that they are failing to achieve the target. What system do you have now? Sorry, because 2019-2020 around the corner, we have to target for that and to achieve what we have targeted for. And I'm worried about the the over the overspending by other provinces. Like when you check, because when you say they are performing well, like the Eastern Cape or not the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape. When you check at their performance, it seems that they are going to overspend. Is that your... I'm trying to check your research on the performance of those provinces. It is good if they are overperformed, but they do have funds. They do have a budget for their organization. And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of the infrastructure. When you check the EPW, you understand the one infrastructure. What are you going to do now, just for the future, to help those sectors to do better in infrastructure? Because if they are poor, the reporting for the municipality is caused by the poor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Keta. The next to ask questions is Honorable Ryder.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I want to reiterate what you said earlier on about the importance of the EPWP program. It was echoed by the Deputy Minister and again by other speakers before me. And as a result of which, I would have been surprised that there's no media attention today, that there's no representatives from the media today, but the media probably has difficulty following what our committee is doing, because like me, they would have looked at the Z list on Thursday and seen that today the Public Works Committee was going to be discussing the budget for Public Works, and then suddenly the Z list changed on Friday when it came out, and this presentation was replacing the budget discussion. Now, I have the two Z lists in front of me, and it's quite clear that there's been a sudden change. Now, the issue, Chair, is that Fridays and Mondays are normally constituency days, and members are not in their offices here in Parliament, so I would have liked to have done a lot more research and cross-referenced the number of our previous presentations and dug out a little bit more info. But we weren't given that opportunity because of the short notice. Now, I appreciate that these things happen, but it's just happened a couple of times in the last few weeks, and I just urge the people responsible for programming of the committee to please communicate these things with us timelessly so that we are able to prepare, because as I say, Fridays, Mondays and weekends we're in our constituencies. Chairperson, the presentation itself, I'm quite angry, and I think that, again, the people on that side of the table must be aware that what they're dealing with is people's lives. The 150 rand a day is often all that a family will bring home or will feed a household for the week. So, the stuff that we're seeing on paper, it's cold hard facts, but there's a cold, hard reality at the end of the day that we need to be dealing with. And Mr. Henderson, I think that if we can look at page 4, slide number 4. Performance to date is at 73.2% against the 5-year target. Okay, so we're not making it. We're far off the target. And annual performance is below 60%. So that means we've been performing only at below 75%, but now we've dropped. So our current performance is less than our average over the 5 years. So I would be embarrassed to present these figures, and I think we need to know from you why have we actually tapered off in terms of performance rather than sticking up and maintaining that 73% at least, or improving on it. So that's my first question that I have for you. The next one that I wanted to look at is slide 6, and just for interest sake, I worked out the average across provincial performance. I worked out the average excluding the Eastern Cape, and it drops right down to 77.5%. So 88% looks quite good, but if you exclude Eastern Cape, it drops down to 77%, which is a bit of a poor reflection. Slide 12 is Mr. Arior. Your title, I believe, is the you head up the infrastructure section. Now, the issue with the EPWP is that it is a lifeline to the poorest of the poor. It's an opportunity, but it was also conceptualized to be a step up in the ability to help people to start become sustainable in and of themselves, and to start building skills, to start skilling our labor force so that they become employable outside of the public sector as well, and to give people opportunities to do their own thing. And Ms. Nkuna, as well, your title relates to, although I see that you're acting, but it relates to the sustainable side of things on EPWP. Infrastructure is the worst performing of the various sectors. Now, I think that infrastructure is the one where we have the best opportunity for on-the-job training and to give people the skills to make them employable elsewhere. And I think that the two of you need to take responsibility and start looking at jacking up the expenditure there. And I realize that you're dependent on municipalities with their mega expenditure, et cetera, and provinces with their infrastructural projects. But to start promoting that a lot more and start focusing on these things, because that's where the skills are going to be transferred. That's where the people are not just sweeping the road, picking up litter, or standing leaning on a broom, as we often see. That's where people are actually learning hard skills that they can then take into the private sector. And I think that's the spirit of EPWP comes down to that side of things. And yeah, infrastructural development is the area where people are going to learn the most that can be worked on. Then on slide 15, just in answer to Dr. Madlopo, but also something that I picked up, that I wanted to comment on about the training, is that the training is both accredited and non-accredited. Now, non-accredited training can be on the job, but I would certainly hope that the guys that are employed at least get a certificate to say, this guy helped us with bricklaying for a period of X to Y, or a letter of reference or something. Because otherwise, you may as well not be doing the training, because that training is key to access the next opportunity. Mm. So, you know, you can go and say to someone, you know, I've got experience bricklaying, but they're not going to employ him until he shows them a piece of paper. The first bullet point on slide 15 is also concerning. I think that, out of the 845,000 work opportunities reported, 42,000 had training. That's less than 5%. That is disastrous. I then want to go to slide 19, where it says at the end of January, 96% of the allocation had been transferred to eligible departments. Two slides previously related to 95%. So we're good at giving the money out. The next comment is that expenditure is only 68% of the allocation as at the end of January, okay? And the previous one is 67. So we're good at giving the money out. Are the municipalities and the provinces spending it on what they're supposed to be doing? And also, you spoke earlier on about poor reporting being one of your key issues. Now, I'm not sure if that relates to the expenditure as well as the job opportunities reported. But you know, there's nothing that focuses the mind. As members, we're required to submit chits for which we get refunds for our travel, etc., etc. There's nothing that focuses your mind like not giving that money more properly. You certainly would have given a piece of paper. It's got to be correctly signed and filled in. If you sign it incorrectly, then you don't get the money. Again, I realize that penalizing the people on the ground because of the inadequacies of the administration in the municipalities and the provinces might be quite harsh, but it's going to focus their minds really quickly if you start holding back payments because they're not reporting adequately or not reporting properly. So it looks like 33 is the next one that I wanted to do. Ah, yes. Okay. When in doubt, lower the targets. So I'm looking at phase four. I note that we're dropping the target by a million work opportunities. I also, having prepared for the budgetary discussions last week and today, I note that the EPWP allocation of the budget has gone up, but we're lowering the targets. Now, it's a thing called the dead horse management style, you know, and it's a case of when in doubt, lower the targets. I just want you to explain why we've increased the budget, but we're expecting poorer outcome than we had before. Although, it might be a case of we only didn't have managed 4.3 or 4.5 by the end of this year. But are we ambitious enough with our target setting? DM, I presume that's a question more for you. Dr. Madlopa touched on the point that I wanted to make, and it's about the fourth industrial revolution. Now, the EPWP, the spirit of the EPWP is probably everything that goes against everything that's included in the fourth industrial revolution, and I urge you not to follow the Deputy President's definition of what the fourth industrial revolution is. And perhaps go and do some reading about the fourth industrial revolution, because I believe that if you want to, EPWP needs to find ways to counter, not to include, but to counter the fourth industrial revolution. And perhaps you need to focus more on third industrial revolution issues, which relate to working with computers and using technology. Or learning how to use technology rather than reducing the manpower as a result of artificial intelligence and bringing in updated robotic technologies, etc. I then wanted to pick on an item that you mentioned earlier about partnering with the private sector, etc. And I just want to throw an idea out there, perhaps. The Public Works funds almost entirely the CBE, Council for the Built Environment. They have got six entities reporting into them. Is that not your first port of call to start getting the CBE to start pushing out training, encouraging their members to train people, certify people, etc., etc.? You're already paying their salaries. And now perhaps we'll get rid of some duplication. And I think you're going to massively improve your outcomes if you put pressure on these guys, because they're accountable to Public Works as it is, as CBE. And I really believe that these guys hold the key to improving their outcomes and effectively, you know, just reporting numbers of work opportunities is one thing, but I'd love to see the number of people that have come out of EPWP with a skill and have managed to apply that skill and become an entrepreneur or even got a job as a bricklayer or something as a result of the skills that they've got today. And then there's another article that I've been saving for a time like today, and it's from that wonderful publication called The New Age. Friday, 8th of September 2017. Mr. Henderson, you are quoted extensively in this article, and it's all about those involved with EPWP will be assisted to start cooperatives. It goes into some detail about these learnings and so on. There's no comment about that aspect of this anywhere in the document that we have or in terms of the planning that we have going forward. And I'm wondering, has that died a death? Or is it still something that is going forward? I think that, EPWP has the potential to really move South Africa forward in terms of our unemployment figures and stats, and it's going to bridge the gap between education system and the employment issue, the upskilling of people for real jobs. And I really think that, that the presentation that we have today is just a little bit dry and it doesn't achieve what we're hoping to achieve. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ryder. Thank you very much. You really spoke like me.
Well, no, upskilling.
Those in rural areas rely on these programs. Also upskilling. So even quoting the new age, now everybody knows that you were really a great man following the new age. So you still rely on it. Maybe you must bring it back. Thank you very much. Honorable Marcella.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Thank you, DM. And Honorable Members. Honorable Chair, I will start on slide number 4, though Honorable Maslova did talk about it. But I want to say it is really disappointing to realize that we can say as a committee, we only perform on our arrival here. And ever since that time, the results have been dropping year in and year out. I know that you said there was a change of reporting which could have influenced us, but I think that should have happened at least 1 year following that or two, but not for 4 years in succession. It means we are not really trying to improve ourselves or to come up with strategies to make sure that things are in a better condition than the way they are. On slide number 6, where it talks about achievements by provinces and municipalities, I'm just wondering why are municipalities, we find that the province is performing well, especially if we look at Eastern Cape, but the municipalities there are hopeless. Why? Are they not helping each other? And also the minimum that we are having. What is the function of the minimum? If we have got provinces that are performing very, very outstandingly well, and we have got those that are performing well, the minimum, I think, is there to make sure that people copy from one another. They understand why is this one performing better than me, then what can I do? And we share the information that can assist those municipalities or the provinces. On the issue on flat number 9, I thought maybe either in our on that graph where we have not the graph on the table where we should have at least indicated from the 69,891 projects how are they spread within all the provinces. Maybe it was shown there on the table to say in this province there were so many, in this so many, at the end the total is this much. I want us to look on the, this one also, I think it's Honorable Ryder who talked about it, the slide number 16, the training. Honestly speaking, we are not doing well on this one. We cannot have people being the EPWP material forever. They must graduate. They must get skills and start working better places, not remaining at the RDP level. When you check the percentages here, for example, I did try to check them. Eastern Cape is 8%. They trained only 8%. Northern Cape only 1%. KZN is better at 42%. But most of them are at 4%, 5%, 1%, and so on. Maybe we should have a quota for faith to say at least training should be this percentage. At least. so that we don't have a situation where it's only one person that is in trouble. Maybe for phase four we could look into that one. On slide number 17, that's at slide number 6. I need some clarity. Somewhere you said Eastern Cape has performed well, the target of 168% was reached. And then here we talk of the expenditure, which was lowest at 34%. Can we report that with you? What is actually happening there? But here on slide number 19, I want to comment to this department. I know that when we started this term, we were worried that in most cases the transfers were done very late. It was as if we were dumping them to the municipalities, to the provinces at the last moment. But it is now, it shows that we are doing it on time. We want to comment on it. Slide number 33, I think Honorable Ryder talked about it, I'm very worried. Why do we have a target which is lower than by 1 million? Why? Because we are now supposed to be expected. We are for phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. Now when we get to phase 4, then we drop our target. Let's talk about it there also, clarify as why are we just planning to go lower in that session. You also indicated something about the expansion of EPWP to other fields like the ECD. I just want to know how are you going to be doing it under EPWC. I'm worried because in rural areas you find that in the preschools or creches where it's done by the community, you find a child paying maybe, I'm just giving an example, 100 rand per month. Because if you charge more than that, that child won't be closed, there will be no tools for that child because that depends on the 400 per month. And also rural. It must be bought by the parents. If they pay 100 rand, a school, that creche or that institution has got about 50 learners or children. It means it's 5,000. There is a teacher, there is an assistant, there is a cleaner. There is also a gardener. They must share that 5,000, which they make for the whole month. How are you going to fit in that situation? Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I'm really quite happy with the questions you're asking. But maybe one other important point that I may want to request the team, Mr. Anderson, to explain further. In page 29, you attempting to deal with it, but the alternative road saving methodologies. The material that can be used that can help improve the efficiency. Also, maybe talk about using Agrima South Africa in such situation and also certify those alternatives and even road surface, methodology, even in the gravel roads, all those the products that must be used there. So I think the point that Honorable Rader raised, that the presentation would have given more. There's more that you could give. I think. We must always look to improve. Your presentation must be educational, must use what you have. Agrima South Africa is what you have. So gravel roads, the infrastructure that is there in the rural areas. So improving, better ways of improving, those are should worry you, use the people. Those I think if you can elaborate. In fact, in line with what Honorable Rider put, you may want to re-look into presenting another document with quite an important information than the one we have. I also, while Honorable Patricia Adams was of the view that we rather have a target that is small than a big one and then achieve it, I'm reluctant to drop, because remember our situation in our country. We have almost, other people are saying the unemployment is getting almost far above what we think we write in papers. Others are putting at 40%. Now, when you have that kind of unemployment, you rely on these programs. These programs, indeed, they are in Honorable Rider's words, the lifeline of many families. But also, in terms of the access, the door to skills, this problem. I know of children in some rural areas who are now employed because the EPWP is trained as a program of computer in the rural areas. There are no computers there. In fact, after this meeting, the DM with myself and you must talk. There are three schools that have approached me on computers. So maybe you must talk about that. The rural areas. This EPWP program must be able to be relevant in those, because those are needy. In urban areas, easy, but not in the rural areas. Even schools are now struggling. So maybe indeed I share with the honourable member that say the training should be the biggest focus. While also because we have a lot of unemployment, so we must also, numbers to me are important in a country like ours, because everything that you do is informed by your situation, your context. So we can't pretend like we're in a tiny, small African country in the heart of Africa. So we are one of the big countries with a lot of unemployment, so we need a massive program. So I don't think I am happy with the reduction. So if DM, this can be looked into, I'll be more happy, because I'm dictated to by the demand on the ground, what I see on the ground, because we should be addressing what we see on the ground. So I think the questions put by members, they really talk, because they talk to this situation. You can't be blaming a failure to report and you think that is acceptable. Because we have a role to play. We have a role to play, and we're talking the bodies that must assist people who you have given the task, because they said they are capable of doing the task. Now it can't be indeed the whole 4 years they can't produce a credible report. I think indeed it is denting the program, a good program. So I think let's get your responses. Thank you very much. Yes, DM.
Yeah. First of all, let me really express appreciation for the way in which the committee, all of the committee members, have raised the issues in which they've raised. Because I actually agree, by and large, with everything that's been said. So, I mean, my first point is that all of you have said that this is a very important program, and all of you have said that, in bits and pieces at least, you can see that there's some positive things there. But at the same time, you're disappointed with the report that we're getting of things. And I agree with you. And I'm going to speak to the team. I have been trying to, but you are reinforcing something that I have been, which the team is aware of, which I've been trying to erase in MinTrops and MinLex and so on. Okay. But let me start there, and to thank you for the way in which you've done it, which is, and what you, I mean, another very important achievement of this last 5 years is that at least the two largest parties in Parliament, in fact, and then also, have come up, ESF I think is a bit picky on expanding, but is that we're getting a cross-party agreement on the importance of that. That has been very important because there was a time also when the DA, for instance, was unsure about the programs and so on. I think what is a very positive event that we can all, you know, that I'm certainly very happy about, is that we're not dismissing this as a stupid program and so on. There might be bad things happening and stuff, but fundamentally, this is a really important program for South Africa. And I think there's agreement certainly here from that side of the house, and we certainly, I certainly agree with that. Okay. So I can begin with two anecdotes, just after last month or so. So I think you would have heard about the terrible fires that happened in the Western Cape in January. In January. I actually was staying out there at the time and helped with assisting the firefighters a little bit, not in the fire, but feeding them and so on. Now, that was a massive fire, and these fires are occurring around the world, increasingly because of climate change and so on. So there's big environmental challenges. Now, that fire was fought overwhelmingly by participants in the EPWP program working on fire. There were about, they were flown in from different parts of the country as well to come and assist, because obviously in summer the fire season is here, in winter the fire season is in Mpumalanga, Gauteng and so on, because it's drier then and so on. So they also come in crew. There were about 150 working on fire colleagues at any one time. Incredibly well trained, because we saw our training. Some of them are high altitude specialists, but they're flown up by helicopter into very dangerous situations, high up on the mountains there, around Betty Bay and Kopelberg and so forth. They stay there for 24 hours, okay, up in, at night and so on, watching the fire and so on, etc. Then they get flown down again. I saw them being flown down again. They were then clean air flow. I mean, the level of discipline, and these are young African pilots, by and large, colleagues and so on. Okay. So at the end of the thing, there were 40 houses completely destroyed, and there would be many more. There was one fatality, and there would be many more, not four. The other fire brigades and things, but the municipal fire brigades can't fight the fire in the mountains. They can protect property where there are fire hydrants, but they're not. The fires are fought with the helicopters and the bombing basically with water, but then you have to follow it up with people on the ground, on foot, up high in the mountains, in dangerous situations and so on. Okay. So this community is largely, the colour community living here, but overwhelmingly Afrikaans speaking, and so on. At the end of the thing, when the fires had finally been successfully fought, the whole of the community, largely Afrikaans, came out, and the working on fire people paraded to, had a basically toy to the town.
And
Afrikaans, DA, voting, joined in the toy, in celebration, and they were hugging these young guys who saved houses and lives and things like that. So I'm telling an anecdote, okay? And as I think Ryder and Honourable Ryder and others said, you know, what we're getting here is dry steps and things like that.
Indeed.
And that's what sometimes they say. It's not giving us the texture and reality of what's happened. Okay. So we need to tell, we've got to tell the human story, not the And we're kind of not doing it properly. The second anecdote I want to tell is last week on Friday, there was a big conference on what's called the social economy. Okay. and the Secretary General of the International Labour Organization, Secretary General ILO, out here, and then he addressed on Saturday the Future of Work Africa launch with our president, who is one of two leaders, international leaders on the future of work. Now, the ILO is very concerned about the future of work because of the fourth industrial revolution, which is going to actually displace huge numbers of people in current jobs and so forth and so on. So it's a big theme. And what the Secretary General of the ILO, Guy Ryder, said to me, and we had one representative from our department there, TJ, who has been part of that, but he said to me, as South Africans, you can be extremely proud of what you're doing through your public employment program. Virtually unique in the world. Other countries are doing these things, but you're doing it on a scale. You've sustained it for now 15 years as the EPWP. You're in lots of different sectors. I mean, no other country, as far as I'm aware, is doing firefighting, for instance, or is doing removing alien invasion, or have expanded to the extent that we have into ECDs, and I'll talk about that, in creches and so forth and so on. So it's multi-sectoral that we're doing. Many countries do it temporarily because there's been a hurricane or something like that. There's been a destruction of property, so they do it for a few months, and then that's the end. The course of our unemployment problems and so on, and challenges that we've got, we've sustained the program. We haven't reached the 6 million work opportunities that we want to have done. So we're not telling the story, okay? But the ILO is telling the story. So the ILO is telling in Vietnam, they're telling the colleagues around the world, they're telling the story of what we're doing in South Africa. They're flying. TJ, our colleague, was meant to be in India to assist there and also to tell other international people. I think it's the ILO or someone was funding it to do that. So those are two anecdotes. So let me get down to some of the more specific details that come into Kariki, right. So my first frustration is that we over-focused on work opportunities. Okay. And we consider the bulk of this report is work opportunities in provinces, etc. Now, a work opportunity can mean anything from 3 weeks, okay, literally, and there are some cases where that's happened, to a full year of participation, 230 days, basically, a full working year. Each one would count as one work opportunity. So what is it telling you? Okay, now I'm not saying that we shouldn't look at work opportunities, but that's the sort of headline thing, and that's the thing we're reporting again, and that's why we're coming out at 60%, 65%, 75%, and so on, and so on, and so on. But it's not telling us the quality of what's happening to the participants, the impact on the community, and so on. So, and then also create perverse incentives, because if there's an incentive for some municipality, because they're getting the incentive grant to create work opportunities, they can just do it a tick box. So we've done 60 work opportunities, and it's usually just before elections, whatever, this political party, that political party is also trying, and then they drop the people, and so on. So we can't run away from work opportunities, but I'm worried that we're still over-focusing. One in the reporting that we're getting. So we're complaining about the reporting that we're getting, but we should also think about the reporting that we're providing to yourself. Instead of using this occasion to reflect honestly, because we must reflect honestly, not everything's perfect, it's real life, this stuff is full of contradictions and problems and challenges and so on, and we should honestly reflect those. But performance against the work opportunity is for me not that interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Not that interesting. So that's it. That's what's coming through strongly. And the colleagues are saying, we're working hard. It's not like they're loafing, it's not like they're on. We've got a good team here. But they've got, in my view, got stuck in a rut, basically. Locked into this thing. And I think it's creating numbers of problems. But then if I can go to some of the more specific things that are here. And where to begin, because there's a thousand things one can't just say. The infrastructure, okay. So I think one of the big lessons, and it's not reflected here, so again, it's a disappointment in the report, is that Historically, EPWP began mainly as an infrastructure program, and mm-hmm. still the numbers in terms of work opportunities are still, as the report correctly says, is still in infrastructure. But what we're dealing with when it comes to mainstream infrastructure construction is big, highly capitalized, not labor-intensive approaches, okay, to construction. And it's something that we're battling and we're working on, but it's hard. And with the fourth industrial revolution and all of the stuff that you've seen on the road, all the equipment and so on, you're blowing against the wind. But some of our best programs are in infrastructure, okay, and we've sustained them really well and we're getting large numbers, but they're in maintenance. Because the nice thing about maintenance is that, one, it's not done enough. Two, it's there, local, and it's ongoing. And we know from public works, that's one of our big problems with our buildings, is that they're not being properly maintained and so on. But whether it's roads or stormwater drains or water infrastructure and so on, it's ongoing, it's local and so forth. The trouble with a construction program is that there might be jobs and you can really push the construction company to do approach it labor intensively and so on, and it's a big battle because they push their machines don't strike. You know, struggle and stand them on, etc. Or get bubble up. Although they break down machines as well, but you're pushing against the current there. But when it's maintenance, and so the big successful program on infrastructure is Zibambele, okay? 48,000 participants. In KZN, another 40,000 in the Eastern Cape. Okay, and here also what's quite interesting is it's 2 days a week.
Mm.
It's not full time. It's not every day of the week. So that and it's a household. So the household is given 700 or 500 meters a kilometer, depending on of this rural road, which has otherwise not been properly looked after, and that's your responsibility for the year. So they contract it on a yearly basis. Is to look after the stormwater drains, clear the villages, do basic thing and so on and so on. We understand that you will do other things as well, okay, that you maybe are running a creche or a disposal shop, your cousin is running a taxi, whatever. But the household then, and it's women-headed household, and it's largely women in the program, and it's largely middle-aged women, okay, we're not actually going anywhere. They're there. That is a family home. Okay. Mm-hmm. So these are not people graduating into some fourth industrial revolution in Gauteng, if it ever comes to Gauteng. They're there. And so this is a wonderful program which is basically about additional income into a household. It's getting some social grant, it's getting bits and pieces, maybe a remittance from a husband or something who's absent and working on a mine somewhere, whatever. And it's working really well. And many of the participants have now been in the program for 7 years, 8 years, and so forth. At Eastern Cape, and we really want to expand it in Limpopo. Limpopo's done it a little bit, but not sufficiently. Northwest, particularly those more rural provinces where you can really do. And so this is wonderful. Okay. So these participants are not necessarily. So they should be trained, okay. But they're not, they're looking after a family, basically, extended family in a rural area. So there, you're not wanting the system to provide artisanal training at a cost of 200,000 over 2 years or something like that, over 2 years. But you must train them with basic occupational health things, provide them and so on. So on the training issue, I think let's adapt the training to the reality of who one's dealing with in the program. So if you're dealing with young people, like you were mentioning, so young people don't want necessarily to be stuck looking after a road. But unless someone's looking after a road, it's not going to look after. Young people you want to introduce to computers, maybe the third industrial revolution is not necessarily the fourth. Those words are quite stupid. So we've really got to improve
the graduation and training thing, particularly where youth focus. Because, you know, even if we're not going to solve the unemployment problem in South Africa with the PWP, other things, reindustrialization, all kinds of things are the key to do that. But we need to be part of it. Now, if the economy starts to create more jobs, and hopefully it will, those rural women living in a rural area looking after special roads in 2 days a week are not going to be the first thing to do to get a job. So it's more young people. So the things that we need to look at, what are things that are, because young people don't like picking up strong people. And men, young men, we don't want to pick up strong people. Someone has to, and we should be doing that. And that's why President Obama thought that maybe we should all be picking up strong people. I think that's correct as well. But sports coaching, homework supervision. I mean, in our township schools, in a rural school, there's no sports. There's no sports whatever. So some of our programs are starting to do that. There's some very nice programs, soccer for youth, netball for youth, and so on, where youngsters, often from that very school, with matriculates from the school, then become coaches, and we provide one of the programs or another provides the site and the wage to do that, and they get training to train and so on. So that's a nice program. Also, some of the social audits we're talking about, where you can do a local census thing, you can use computers or geomapping, even for some of our programs. Or where are our buildings and places and so on. Informal settlement up. So there you would want training, and you also want to attract you to things that they like, cultural things. On training, training is important, okay? But remember, we're dealing with anything between 6 to 9 million, depending on how you count it, unemployed people. Now, what are we trying to do with this cohort? We're trying to get income support into them, okay? Because they depend on it, like none of this thing. If you put money into training, which is ideal, then you're taking away money that you've got to reach greater numbers. It's a catch-22. So the thing is not to give up on one or the other, but then to tailor the program appropriately to those who are doing Zibambele road maintenance. Need a little bit of training. The baby's not certificated or whatever, but you can certify whatever. And they're not going anywhere with the certificate. They're happy to be where they are and to earn a little bit of pocket money, basically, as an additional thing. But someone who's in another kind of program, like working on fire, unless they're seriously trained, they're going to get killed. But someone that are seriously trained, and they get certificates and all kinds of things like that. So you need to adjust for that. But don't underrate the experience of work. In South Africa, we know there are households where the grandfather maybe worked a long time ago and has been retrenched or something. Parents haven't worked. 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old haven't worked, aren't working. So you get households with multiple. So just the very experience of getting up at 8 o'clock or so, reporting to work, working with others, learning to work in a team. So even that is training, even if it's not certificated. And it's really important because we know that the violence against women, children, the drugs, all of these things are symptoms of a society where there's radical unemployment. And there's not good reason. Yes, people don't have
the
experience of working together.
Maybe, Minister, let's see just
a couple of short things, okay?
Okay, we'd love to hear them answering direct questions, because sometimes the minister is the minister. So, but let's hear them.
But I'm talking to them, okay, not just to you. Because I'm telling them that they should improve their act. And I'm reinforcing the message that you give. So I'm not defending
them. Okay, but they must still answer us. They must still answer us.
Okay. They've asked me, okay, at a request from them, just to talk about...
No, they must not hide.
No, I'm not hiding. Okay. I'm supporting the critical remarks that I'm very used to. I'm supporting you. I'm now a parliamentarian, not a minister. I'm a parliamentarian. Okay.
simply two things very quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
Where can we expand matters? Okay. And it's not unrelated to the so-called fourth industrial revolution. And that is that what machines can't do is look after 2 year olds. Okay. And there are hundreds of thousands of women mainly in every township, in every rural village in South Africa, who are, like you would say, correct, who are looking after kids. The parents maybe can pay 100 rand a month, but often can't, okay, maybe 60 rand or whatever. And we're talking about expanding ECD, and we know how important that is for the future of our society, and from the kids quite early on get it. And the only service that's being provided mainly is these formal, informal, registered, unregistered. So one of our programs, our non-state sector, provides extra stipends, provides stipends to those who are providing the care, okay? So that in essence to expand things, to use then the resource they're getting, the small enough they're getting in terms of students, you know, the parents paying and stuff, to improve the infrastructure, and so on and so on. So that's one massive area. Home-based care, all of those social care things which support the industrial revolution, which robots can't do, won't do, okay,
yes.
we need to. So that is the social sector, is a very important sector where we can significantly expand. The last point, you'll be pleased to hear.
Yeah.
But I'm supporting what you're saying, so you should be encouraging. Okay, so on the national minimum wage, we have the debate with the union movement and then that in the process of the national migration. Because government's view, certainly my view, is that we need to understand that expanded public works program as mainly, okay, part of the social protection system, a more comprehensive social security. Because if you're under 18, you're 18 or under, I mean if you're over 18, under 50 and unemployed and relatively able, you are completely cut out of the social security system unless you work and you've got a little bit of UIS for a few months and then it's over. So there's a huge, we're talking about a comprehensive social security system, there's this massive gap that we've got in our system. And one of the few things that is filling it, but not sufficient numbers, is the standard public works program. So what we were saying to the union is, yes, the participants in our programs must be covered by a decent work agenda. In other words, they have the right to organize, they have the right to health and safety issues, and all of those things, labor relations, and all of those things, state commissions, and we have that right. But if we give them the national minimum wage, if we pay them the national minimum wage, then what's going to happen is that the numbers are going to reduce by about 50%. So you're saying that 5 million work opportunities is insufficiently ambitious and we need to debate that. But if we pay at a national minimum wage, it's going to increase. So currently, as you know, the basic wage for the EPWP has been based on a ministerial declaration from annually based, okay. So that you're not overreaching and then ending up by excluding large numbers of people that we want to open. You've got to juggle it. We must be excluded completely from the national minimum wage. We must be excluded from decent work. People must work in safe conditions. But decent work is the wage, narrowly. We've sort of lost the argument. So currently what we are is an agreement that we should be at a 54%, 55% tier of the national minimum wage. So our participants, at the very least, not get more, but at the very least, get 55%. That's basically a kind of ceasefire between the two different debates, because 55% is exactly what our current minimum wage is. The union's ambition is to now increase us towards 100%, and our ambition to get removed from things, to think about in a different sense. Yeah, that's the national problem. So, the last thing I want to say is we've got to get that in order to get back to the service that we used to do.
completely different from where they would ask in their what the they would ask people, have you worked in an EPWP program in the last 12 months? They would ask them. Then they would say, if so, what are you doing now? And it was very interesting, the response to everyone, and very encouraging. So I haven't got the exact figures, but something like 48% of them said they were now in the informal sector. So they had been unemployed, and they were now working in the informal sector. Okay, they've got some kind of work in the informal sector. Which suggests that many of those are still in an EPWP program, because the sector they didn't make the distinction between EPWP and other informal sectors. Something like, I think, 14% had got formal sector jobs. They had graduated successfully to a formal sector job. Something like 12% or something, I might be getting the figures wrong, had set up a co-op or an SMMP that had moved forward to that. And others also indicated that they were doing new training, so they acquired some taste maybe for training. So, but something like 80% of the participants who'd be formally radically unemployed had improved their lives or were in the direction of improving their lives. So that's a conversion rate which is better than the private sector in our situation. Okay. 20% unfortunately were back into radical unemployment. So for me those are much more interesting figures than whether we're getting 75% of our work opportunities targets. 100% of your work opportunity targets, but the people are in, out, and back to nothing. Much more important is what is the quality of it? Is it contributing really to the system? So you can talk much more about it.
Okay, Minister.
Thank you.
So I don't want you to be confused. Be clear what the Portfolio Committee wants from you. What the Portfolio Committee is saying. Not the what the Minister. The Minister have you all the days. You must talk to you all the day. For now, answer to Portfolio Committee members. But in terms of what they mean, because he's raising other things that will end up asking questions to his input now. Yeah, well, that's the problem of him talking. You see, but I agree with him in terms of your report needs to be beefed up so that you are positive, you don't undermine the good work you have done. Like he's saying, you go to KwaZulu-Natal. Your EPWP programs have provided bridges, pedestrian crossing bridges. People now cross, school children cross. Now, those success stories would make the EPWP status to be respected. So I don't know, you are lazy to write. You are learned people, Una. You are learned people who cannot write your report. Well, achievement, you don't know, Eastern Cape, they are doing. We, as this portfolio committee, went to Eastern Cape. There was a road between Ngobo and N2, linking those. EPW was involved there. So we went to investigate. The road now is really nice to drive. It's gravel, but it's attended to. You see, so there was a complaint. That's why we went there. We went there two times. So. But you are not mentioning some of your good work. Of course, we also saw there was a small harbor that didn't have a road at all. We had to use a 4x4 to get there, to that small harbor. It's called Port Cross Vena. So we said the municipality there must talk to yourselves and provide that gravel road there. So you are not doing well in infrastructure, but the need is there. You see, a gravel road. So I'm saying there's a lot of infrastructure work that can happen if you coordinate with municipalities all over South Africa. So I think, but what you have done already, there's something, a nice story that can picture if it will be better than you have provided. I think you can write a better report, you see. Yeah, even on training, so, but remember, the focus of the South Africa's constitution is on those people that were excluded in the past, not the one the minister is talking about, who were flying with a helicopter. you see. So that never flew with a helicopter. That's the focus. The focus of our public servant is to the poor, make a difference to the poor who were excluded by apartheid.
Okay, answer.
Everybody, I hope you will give everybody, let's hear even the ladies, you will deploy them as you answer. Let's hear your team answering. The members also want their question to be answered. They are listening. Is my question answered? So, before you were looking like you were writing. I don't know whether your report writing is good. Okay, we hear when you answer.
Thank you, Chair. Patiently not. We will allow even ladies to speak. We will allow especially the ladies to speak too. That's what we will do.
Good.
I will try to respond to some of those questions. And both Lindy and Ignatius will come in. Game has touched on many things, and the comments obviously noted. Not in mitigation, but just kind of contextualized that we have received a request on Friday, I think, to submit the report. We didn't even have time to discuss it with our deputy minister. Certain mitigation, but I just need to contextualize that and on Friday there was a funeral for the entire day, just to contextualize something personal matters.
We accept that.
Yes. But we have done our best, and we note the comments made by both members of the committee as well as our deputy minister. Issues here in this. The fourth industrial revolution should not be seen necessarily as, you see, fighting technological development may be a futile exercise. The way that we are looking at it rather would be, say, across the entire value chain, whatever comes with the fourth industrial revolution, how can we optimize work opportunities for young people? That would be the approach, and not to say to fight the fourth industrial revolution. Now, let me give you an example. When you manufacture a drone all along the value chain in manufacturing, we have to explore the possibility of employing more people in manufacturing, in terms of marketing, in terms of maintenance. Another example would be there would be enormous opportunities for safe public spaces to be work opportunities for young people to release, so to speak, public spaces and tourist areas, not only tourist areas, but especially those areas where many of our children and women, where they could get attacked and get subject to violence. So we don't see the fourth industrial revolution as a threat per se, but rather how can we optimize to ride this wave also. To make that particular point very clear. So Ignatius will talk about the infrastructure grants and the coordination mechanisms. The implementation of the expanded public works program, all government departments across all three spheres of government, should I say, all public bodies are expected to implement the Expand Public Works Program. Our job is to, in the absence of legislation, and honourable members may want to note this particular book, in the absence of legislation, it means that we have to engage with provinces, provincial departments, with municipalities, with national departments, in order to unlock and leverage on those budgets as they execute their mandates to optimize job creation. So who should participate? Everybody should be participating in the, and across the four sectors of the economy. Target setting is a tricky issue always, Chair, and we tend to agree with you it's a bit of both. You set it too low, you achieve your target, and people will accuse you of setting targets too low. You set a target too high, you can't achieve it, and you get whacked for that also. So it's a no-win situation. And having said that, I don't mean by that we want to play the numbers game. But target setting always, whatever we do, is linked to a budget allocation. And honourable members, we can have wonderful ideas and talk about things. As long as there's no budget allocation, nothing will happen. And therefore, whatever comments we get, we take them, we don't discard them, and we ask ourselves the question, how can we programatize this upstage? Initially through piloting of a project, and then for further rolling out those ones. But I need to make the point that whatever we come up with, it has to be linked, which speaks then to the phase 4 target. It has been set because of the what came out through National Treasury in the MTSF. And there were major budget cuts, and on the rider, the increase was actually after 2 years of the MTSF in the non-fed sector, in the MTS. Just to make that point, so we are aware of that, but not in the first 3 years. And only one problem, one couple of years. So the budget setting exercise, we do take it seriously without undue emphasis on just the numbers, but the point is to make many of these things happen, we have to have budget allocation first, and we have to unlock it amongst those public bodies where the budgets are sitting. It's a major coordination effort that's often underestimated in a very big way. Because I can tell you this, I've sat with metro, with city managers, and municipal managers, and with mayors, executive mayors, and I've begged, and I've done many things. So I want to give you the assurance. The way that we go about our job is not with that recklessly. We actually apply our minds in an extremely professional way to make sure that we can actually we ask the municipal manager, give us your IDP, so we can look at those projects we have included in your IDP, and then ask the question, how can we optimize job creation in projects A, B, and F, and G, and to up the ante, so to speak, a little bit. So it's an important point that I would like to emphasize here in front of this committee, so that we are right to have expectations from public employment programs. We shouldn't have undue expectations for public employment programs. And we should know realistically how, what would we like to drive. I need to make that point. Training, DM has spoken about, we would like each and every participant to undergo training. We have limited funding from the National Skills Fund, not through the DHET, but what we are doing, Honourable Chair and members, and DM is to once again engage with implemented by saying, we would like you, each and every public body, to set aside dedicated funding for training. So that except for the exposure in the world of work, and that's extremely valuable training, as DM has pointed out. And people often scoff at it, but when people have not worked, or never worked before in their lifetime, just to get into the world of work. But once you are there, we're saying, we would like to add value and saying, yes, they do get, I think the question was asked, where they get a certificate. Yes, they do accept for a certificate of acknowledgement that they have participated, worked on curb laying or on road building or on maintenance work, which is important for every poor person looking for another job. But what we would like to see ideally would be further value add in terms of accredited training that would be portable. That EPWP participants and workers would be able to exit with when the time comes. I'm trying to touch on there are many recurring questions here. So the target was the one. DM has spoken about the national minimum wage. I would like to make a change we touched on before my two colleagues. It's important for that you do hear their voices and their arguments also. The question where I was quoted by the Oliver Ryder with regard to the new age of the public employment programs, we see the work opportunity as the unlocking mechanism only to allow for many other things to take place. One key thing would certainly be in terms of social protection, the income support into poor households. But another key element would be that it creates a space for enterprise development. And we have seen, Honourable Chair and members, not nearly to the scale that we would like to see, but we have seen sewing companies in the rural areas where women asked to participate in the EPWP have formed sewing companies, and they are actually, we have seen in the Northern Cape wonderful examples of enterprise development where young people be manufacturing basic things, and those are the kind of things that we at this stage call green sprouts, but that we want to take to scale the EPWP phase 4, because we have taken those lessons. I can assure you that we have got the example saying, yes, if this could happen in the Northern Cape somewhere, how come it can't happen in KwaZulu-Natal, not in KZNIB? So we see the work opportunity simply as the unlocking mechanism. And public employment program as a package where we're saying, what's the true value add for poor people? That's what makes our approach so unique. And maybe at this stage, Honourable Chair, I touch on the budget issue. Honourable Ryder was here, I think, where I said that the target setting that was in one sub program. Where there was an increase in the budget, and that was not indeed over the 3 years, but actually after 2 years of the MTF. I think I touched on that. Yes. Lindy, do you want to go first?
Okay.
Yeah, Lindy's first.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll respond to the one around the question of how well do we know that there's under-reporting? This has been confirmed to us even from the audit reports that are done by Auditor General. Mm. Whenever they are auditing EPWP projects, there are two methods that they are using. One is to look at the consolidated report that we provide to them. Secondly, they visit a sample of projects in provinces, especially municipalities and provinces. And out of those sample projects, they do pick up that there are so many projects that are implemented yet not reported into the EPWP reporting system. If you were to look at the Auditor General reports that are issued for the Department of Public Works, of late, I think it's in the past 3 years, we have been qualified on completeness because the issues around the understating of the figures. Mm. We have, as a department, already come up with interventions of how to start addressing that, because you will appreciate the fact that, as Mr. Anderson is saying, EPWP gets to be implemented by all government departments across all the 3 spheres of government. So the reporting is done by the public body that gets to implement EPWP. So when the reports are not finding its way into the EPWP, we normally wouldn't know until such a time when this gets to be picked up through either the Auditor General visit or our site visit. So to address that, within the program, we have come up with interventions in the current financial year where we are now saying, let us, when we are visiting sites, go to a public body. So for example, if we are visiting City of Tshwane, let us go into their offices, check their records, how many of the projects are reporting and of those projects, let's check with what is captured in our system. How many of those projects are indeed reflecting in our project? What we also do is we've introduced an intervention register where we get to register the projects that were visited and the interventions that need to be taken up. The DDG of EPWP on quarterly basis now also writes to the accounting office of this public body to notify them that within your particular public body, these are the gaps we have picked up. We request you that you start addressing them. So this is something that is currently done to address the issue of under-reporting. On the next issue, okay, it's around the fact that how do we ensure that the lessons learned that have been coming in EPWP do not repeat itself. I think it's around the issue of public bodies utilizing their funds, not relying on the incentive grant. If you look at slide 25, out of the very review that was done to inform phase 4, there is one recommendation that is made that there is a need for the program to look outside for the fiscals and to develop a policy to enforce implementation. I think Ms. Henderson just pointed out now, at the moment EPWP is not legislated. Implementation is done on a, what is the word?
Convinced.
On a convinced type of an approach. So public bodies normally do not adhere to what government has agreed to, that it should be implemented as a government intervention to address unemployment in the country. Currently in EPWP, we are also looking at ways of how to come up with mechanisms through a policy that somehow will assist us as we're going forward to ensure that this becomes a government position that is adhered to by all the public bodies out there. The issue, I think, around budget, Mr. Henderson has already responded to. I see the honorable member here has already brought the EME book, but the budget allocations is on the NSS NPO program. It is correct that the funding is increasing on the outer years, yet the targets overall are decreasing because there are certain factors that were considered when we were working on the targets for phase 4. One is also around the current performance, because we have to look at the historical performance of the public bodies, of course taking into account the findings out of the reviews that were done, because public bodies were saying public works don't give us targets without consulting with us. So for phase 4, as Mr. Ario was presenting, there were several consultations that were done with public bodies to find out what is it that you have in your baseline in terms of the MTF allocation. So that is one consideration that has been taken into account to ensure that we make sure that whatever that is determined in terms of targets aligns properly with what National Treasury has already allocated for those public bodies. I already also mentioned that based on the budget, we are also making assumptions in terms of the increases, because I think we all have been hearing the news in National Treasury presenting there is no money in government right now. So the targets that you are seeing were based on what we are also getting from National Treasury, because that is another stakeholder that we have consulted with them to check what is reasonable and feasible for EPWP phase 4. The last one, I think, is just a comment around the graduation of participants in terms of training from the EPWP. I need to point out that from some engagements we have had with the private sector, we have been cautioned that we mustn't expect the private sector to be absorbing people that are coming out of EPWP, because we are all aware economy currently is not performing at the rate at which it is expected. There are so many jobs that are shared from the private sector, and the question that we should be asking, if we are saying participants in EPWP must be graduating, where do we want to graduate them into? So I think the honorable member did mention that we need to now look at the concept of sustainable livelihoods in EPWP. How do we ensure that we develop the people within the program so that even if they are not participating in the program, they are resilient to stand on their own, either by forming some form of businesses or cooperatives, or use the skills in a different way, but without necessarily relying on the formal market to absorb them. So, Chair, I will want to pose that, but allow my other colleagues to respond to some of the questions.
Thank you very much. What do you answer?
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. Just to respond to some of the questions, I think the one of poor reporting has been covered, that we're saying that from the AG, the AG reports, they find more on the ground than what is on the system.
Yeah.
So actually we've done much more on the ground, again, vis-à-vis what we are reporting. On the ground is much more in terms of EPWG. The issue of the post industrial revolution, I just want to add that it's one of the elements we are looking at in terms of our business plan. To give you an example, we're saying how can we make our reporting easier in EPWG? How can we use biometrics, for example? It's being used in India where people use, they log in using their fingerprints, for example. It would make reporting less tedious. So those are some of the things we're looking at. In some of the cities, there's a program now with Harambe where they were rolling out, I think it was City of Swan, they are rolling out free Wi-Fi. So they got young people to help members of the community to connect to Wi-Fi. And they are being paid according to the number of connections they would make. So those are opportunities we're looking at to say we want to bring such opportunities into EPWG. So we want to strike a balance between what the fourth industrial revolution is bringing and also the labor-intensive methods of construction. There was a question about, there seems to be a mismatch between Eastern Cape overachieving and then on the other side we're saying they're underspending. I think the overachieving is the work opportunities. The 168, it's in terms of provincial departments. The 34% is in terms of the expenditure of the incentive grants by certain departments. So we are saying what it means is that in terms, remember the incentive is not the only source of funding for their project. The budget for EPWP is over and above the incentive. Actually, when you compare, the incentive grant is a small component of the overall expenditure. So it means that the departments using their funding are able to meet their targets, the provincial departments. But on the incentive grant, the eligible departments have not spent as much. For some, in that case, in the case of Eastern Cape, just to get a distinction between the two. And then what is the criteria for departments to qualify? In terms of the incentive grant, we look at their performance in terms of full-time equivalent. We don't look at work opportunities. Because if it's work opportunities, they will just recycle. But full-time equivalent looks at the duration of the work opportunity. So you get an allocation according to your FTE, the full-time equivalent. And then we have a threshold as well. So that's how we look at the allocation. Because we're encouraging the public bodies to create quality work opportunities, which means work opportunities that are longer, so that they have a bigger impact in terms of poverty alleviation. Then we are working with CBE as well. We actually have an MOU with CBE. DPW specific to EPWP, and one of the things we want to look at is how do we get the professional bodies under CBE, like EXA, the Engineering Council, how do we begin to get a labor-intensive method streamlined in the curricula of engineering? How do we begin to get that as one of the things we would consider, even when engineers are being registered, for example? Do you have a knowledge of labor-intensive methods? Because that helps them design their projects better. Because if we design a road, that's the knowledge of labor-intensive methods. For example, if I'm to use macadam surfacing, that's the normal term, and I use concrete, paver, it makes a difference on how many people could be employed. So those are the things that we want engineers to begin to look at, just to think outside the box, to say, let's look at the context in which we are.
If we design things a certain way, we can employ more people.
Yeah.
So that is what we are dealing with CB at the moment. So there's some work being done around that. That also speaks to the question of alternate technology.
Mm.
We're starting a European agreement. We're actually telling different companies that have come to us with products,
okay.
Like on what they call it, on cold bitumen.
Yeah.
On where you can, because you can use cold bitumen to do road construction.
Yeah.
You don't have to use hot bitumen.
Okay.
So we're saying with the cold bitumen that you're using,
mm.
I don't have to go too technical, they we are saying it has to be certified by agreement.
Yeah.
Because people come to you with all kinds of materials.
But
so some of them have proven that using the cold bitumen, cold emulsion, you can create work opportunities easier in pothole patching and things like that. So we're working with them and making sure that we do that to push the to create work opportunities,
mm.
use appropriate technology.
Mm.
That's what we're looking at. In terms of the target setting, I think it's been answered. We looked at the budget. I would say 5 million still is a stretch for us because of we are currently at 4.3. It's ambitious enough, but also we want to go beyond just the numbers. We want to, if we can have a good balance in phase 4, to have a target that is realistic, but also gives us space to look at the developmental impact, then we'll make a difference in terms of poverty alleviation. Because if we just increase the numbers, the focus then begins to be, let's just meet the target. And you don't spend too much time on the developmental impact that you could make. I think, that answers the question. Thank you.
Okay. Anderson?
Okay. One last thing. On the metros, the specific work we are doing with the metros, to give you specific examples, like a Kurulen, we had an engagement with the executive management, including the city manager. And we're beginning to see improvement now because the city manager wasn't aware in our engagement, and so they are beginning to hold the HODs of the different entities more accountable. They have also worked on a policy for EPWP. The city of Johannesburg has just issued a directive on EPWP where they are requiring all their different entities to begin to implement EPWP. The city of Swan has had challenges in terms of you may have heard in the news, most of their projects have not gone out because they had a project managing company, but now the contract has been terminated and things like that. So we're engaging specifically with the metro to say we need to begin to mainstream EPWP, get policies in place, and make sure the EPWP targets are in the scorecards of the senior officials. So that's some of the work we are doing. We also have a technical support team that is sitting in those metros and municipalities to say this is how you can design a project EPWP. This is what you need to do to report so that you can improve on performance. So I just thought I wanted to add that specific answer.
Thank you very much. Jonathan, you done?
Yes, Chair. I think there was a question with regard to the performance, the Honourable Rider, from year one to year two, I think. My apologies. With regard to the final, this financial year. But I need to point out that we are still awaiting quarter four data up till. So by mid-April, we will get an idea of what year five's performance really looks like. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. When everything is done and said, we all agree that there's a good work you are doing on the ground. And you cover in the whole of South Africa, you go to the rural areas, each ward, there's something. So I think at least myself and the DM agrees that we must have a better report that would indicate to people, even if you write it for me,
the work you have done, the province, the municipality. You can't undermine yourself. You are now told by Auditor General that, hey, you guys, you're not reported on your work. It's like other work is done by other people, not you. So please, keep drifting off reporting. Those things that are helping the poor. Where, like in KwaZulu Natal, KZN, there's a vet. This is your food there. So, you those children were not finding it difficult to go to school, but working with yourself and other entities, you made it possible. So, you become relevant to the school children. That's the future leaders. So, position yourself nicely. And here's the marketing, you know. Market yourself nicely. Or is a marketing guy. So, I think, let me have that for the colleague. The other point, you see, I hear this thing of the budget. You know, there's a statement that says, where there is a will, there is always a way. I can tell you, beside your budget, there's a lot of budget that are in the CITAS, and in the many other entities that are pertaining to the problems on the ground, pertaining to training people. It's not much. It's not like you only want your budget, only. You are, that is looking only on what you are given. Please, open your eyes, look throughout what else is there. There's budget! So 6 million should be, not be demoted. Don't reduce it. Use other budget. If the issue, the reason is the budget. I am telling you, there's a lot of budget, even in municipalities. They sometimes don't spend their budget. You know this thing, isn't it? You pretend you don't know. You now use budget as an excuse. Please, find another excuse. I don't think I accept it. Because there's money that always is not spent. So, negotiate, you know, a good technocrat is the one that moves and negotiates and convince people, persuade them, make them see that their budget is not going to be spent and they have a history of not spending. I hope ne aitola the lonely child. So the DM agrees with me.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So the 6 million is the target. You'll get the extra budget from by using the other bodies, the municipalities, every body, use them effectively to achieve the goal. Because it doesn't augur well when, as a portfolio committee that represents the poor, they know the poor, your target was always 6 million. All of a sudden now, they are going down. When you can, because they also know that there is a lot of unspent budget in other sitters, even for training. There are many sitters that must assist in training. It's a matter of you encouraging them, motivating them, kanjalo, kanjalo. So, you know, this thing needs all of us. You can even involve ourselves to also be part of negotiators. You know, but no, please, your budget didn't train anybody. So you train more people. You need artisans, you need more skilled bricklayers. It's a simple job, bricklayers. Welding, fewer people can, more people can do that. So, and it doesn't even need a standard 10. So can you see that you can empower the real poor? I'm looking at the poor kakulu kakulu. So let's see beyond the budget. Now this thing would only work if you give me a lot of money. You are creating empire. One big budget and then spend little and the other budget disappears elsewhere. So please, I'm a doctor. Let's help the people. Usually the chair speaks last, but they want to say something.
Chair, sorry, you didn't give us much of a gap. You were so enthusiastic, you went straight in at the end of the answer.
No, I'm giving you a second opportunity that I'm not giving others.
I'm appreciative, Chair. Without entering into a debate, I have a number of big problems with the responses that we got, and one of them is the budget, because I'm looking at the figures, and this is the budget that I work on, and it's not saying what you're saying. If you don't see the fourth industrial revolution as a threat, then you don't understand it. And Ms. Nkuna, highlighted the biggest point that I just feel needs emphasis, and that's actually why I put my hand up, Chair. The issue of we entering the fourth phase of EPWP, and she brought forward this thing of developing a policy framework. And it goes back to what I started harping on my second day on this committee, Chair. We need that policy framework, the guidelines for provinces, the guidelines for municipalities. We're 15 years down the track. Are we going to be saying that we're starting to look into it after 20? I really hope not. And that's my challenge to your department and your area, is to start building your policy framework urgently, get it out there, as well as the implementing guidelines for the guys that really need it, because those guys at municipalities don't have the skills. You're wanting them to report, you're wanting them to implement, they don't necessarily have the skills. Help them, empower them. Thank you, Chair, I'm done.
Important points. I don't know, Mr. Henderson, if you want to your closing remarks, because we're almost done in terms of this point, that is our reading person and the doctor as well. Let's hear the doctor and then you have your last...
No, I was impressed by what the Deputy Minister was talking about, social sector. That cannot be eroded by all the resolution and so on. And our president have talked to the issue of ECD being compulsory. You know, I was so impressed in a way that if we can push on this one. I'm saying this because I'm coming from far north, where people were saying we need ECD here. Therefore, the church, they put, you know, they said if they can have ECD.
Are they waking people from the dead?
No, those, no, they are not. If we can push on this one and make partnership with the churches, because others, they do have buildings, and then we start, you know, working with them. I was so impressed because really, that one is not like something that can be taken away from the people. That's the DM was saying.
Good.
Maybe the department can look at them to say how to be broadened in the healthcare system.
Mr. Anderson, DM would also want to have a concluding word.
Just two comments. The one is, yes, we agree with the ECD focus, because you take care of the Roberts child, obviously you set up people on economic opportunities, obviously explore economic opportunities. Second point is, the policy development process is quite advanced already. Just to give honourable members a chance, and I will take the discussion around the plot in the celebration offline. Honourable Ryder, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Just to explain the small point one honourable member was raising, that he was ready for the other presentation by the department in terms of finance. I think I should have explained initially, we did get a letter from the deputy president, who is the leader of the government business, instructing that we should not be dealing with the financial engagement in this term. We have run out of time, and in fact, even if we were to do it, the coming the sixth parliament would also have to do the same. So it's a work that is really not that good. So we took that advice, that letter, because even the leadership of parliament, they advised us, and then the staff called me, and then we had to then implement it. That's the advice that is from the leader of parliament. So we are sorry, because indeed that was the problem. You are correct, Honourable Leader, that was the problem. So you are also correct to prepare. So we must then apologize, which we made you to prepare, and then we took away the carpet, and then to bring something else. But anyway, I'm happy you are even showing your budget document that Nkuna, Ignatius, Stanley, be sure when you come to this portfolio. So don't use budget as a excuse for not doing your work, because he's showing you that the Baza doesn't agree. So please, let's go and implement. Do the best with small. Do the best with small. Use other means. So I think we're looking forward, even if we may not be in this portfolio in the next, but we'll be somewhere in South Africa. I've spoken to God. We are still going to be around. So we'll be, even if we'll be wherever, but we'll wash. Because remember, we have been here, so we have a relationship with yourself. So we'll be looking at what you're doing. Don't think we are not here. Now you can do as pleased. So we'll be watching you. So we're really optimistic that you are going to elevate the work. DM, thank you very much. You go and push them. They must do the bit where you think they must do the bit. In particular, the poor must be lifted up. We must make a dent in the legacy of apartheid. Otherwise, people won't see the benefit of a new government. It's as good as in those days. So please, let's make them see the difference. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.
So my guy, I don't know if he's on there, my office, he immediately corresponded.